Hi, and welcome to Brill and Eric Watch TV. I'm Eric Almondroll.
And I'm Brill Bundy.
We've got a lot of ground to cover tonight. A couple of news notes, previews of the new season of Deadwood, and a preview of NBC's new summer series, Windfall. Plus, we'll talk about some other new shows that may be worth checking out this summer, and we'll be introducing yet another new feature, the 60-second soapbox.
But first, some housekeeping.
Are you going to clean the office? Because it could cheese it.
I already cleaned the kitchen today.
Okay.
Thanks to everyone who wrote in last week regarding Eric's assertion that nobody cared about my lovingly prepared and detailed segment on the rejiggering NBC did to its fall schedule a week after announcing a completely different lineup. Turns out Eric was wrong, way wrong. Every single one of you.
That's never happened before.
No. Every single one of you who responded, and there were quite a few of you.
Six.
Said that you were interested and you do care deeply about what goes on in the mind of a network executive. Oh, and one of you said that I'm way too accommodating of Eric in general, which is true, but that's a whole other discussion.
Which probably does not belong here. And, you know, all I was really saying, Brill, was not that we shouldn't discuss what goes on and what's inside the mind of a network executive, and not that you should not have a forum to provide some of that insight that you have as a TV industry.
I knew nothing about music.
God damn it. That's for dang sure. As a TV media professional, that you should have that insider insight. All I was saying was is that the way it was being presented was awfully confusing.
Well, nobody seemed confused. Nobody asked for clarification.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, fine.
Can we move along now?
Sure.
Even when you side with Brill, we do love to hear from you. So keep the emails coming at brillanderic@gmail.com. That's BRILLANDERIC at G as in...
graham cracker crust.
mail.com. You can also find us at brillandericwatchtv.com. And of course, subscribe to the podcast at iTunes. And Brill, we actually had a listener comment on the little pause you do after I say G as in. And so has that pause become self-conscious now?
No, it hasn't. It's just that pause is one of those things where I do actually think I'll hear a G word and go, oh, that would be good for the podcast. But every single time you do that, I have that moment where I forget.
As if you don't know that it's coming.
Yes.
Even though we've done it 30 times now, as this is our 30th podcast.
You're still full of surprises, dear.
Good to hear. Several people wrote in over the past couple weeks reporting some problems downloading some of the recent podcasts. And I don't want to shuffle blame here, but this is due to bandwidth problems at archive.org, where we host our files through ourmedia.org.
But it's not my fault.
That's not.
Okay, you're shuffling blame. Just wanted to make sure.
I said I don't want to shuffle blame here.
Okay. But you are.
Look, when you interrupt me, could you at least do it with something substantive? I'm not shuffling blame. I'm assigning it where it's due.
All right.
Are you done?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is why they used to like me better than you.
But and now they don't.
I know. And really, don't take that for granted because it's fleeting. Like all kinds of popularity and fame. So anyway, we like our media because it's free. But it's also subject to all kinds of slowdowns and other problems, including when we try to upload the podcasts. So we're shopping for new hosts for our files and may even go so far as to pay for one.
True.
You know, if anyone has any suggestions of a good service that they use, email us and let us know.
We are always up for recommendations.
Or if anyone has a T1 line and a huge-ass server in their house and want to just donate the space to us, we'd consider that as well.
Okay. Another listener, Jesse, asked us for some summer best bets. Well, we haven't seen a lot of things premiering this summer yet. We will definitely give a heads up when we do see something that you shouldn't miss. Although Eric and I both have problems with giving recommendations because it's such a matter of personal preference.
In fact, people always ask you, as soon as they find out what you do for a living, what you watch, what you can recommend, what's good on TV.
Well, and how they always put it is, what's good? And that's a wide open, it's kind of, you know, and you really know what this is like now that you work for a music magazine, when somebody says, what's good, what should I be listening to? Because you don't know what they like.
TV on the radio.
Okay.
Built to Spill, the new Flaming Lips album.
But what if they hate all music that's of that variety? What if they only like heavy metal?
Then they're not going to ask me.
Yes, they will. They've just met you. It's a conversation starter.
Then they've never seen my magazine.
Anyway, there are a few things that have already cropped up that are kind of on our radar and should be on yours as well. These are not recommendations, though, just a couple of shows that might turn out to be interesting. So keep in mind, we haven't seen any of these yet.
The first is Dog Bites Man, which is on Comedy Central and premieres Wednesday, June 7th. It's a partly improvised show where a fake news team interacts with real people. So this is kind of their remote man on the street, go out and interview people news right. team. But it does have Zach Galifianakis in it, and he's a comic genius, and that's enough for us to watch the show. Unfortunately, he was also in that piece of junk with Eliza Dushku.
True Calling.
Yeah. So that may not be enough in and of itself to recommend a show.
But we'll try it out. The second show is Hex, which premieres on BBC America on Thursday, June 8th. This has been called the British Buffy.
All the watchers are Americans?
Yes. It's also been called a bad charm knockoff, so it could go either way. Basically, it's about a teen misfit at boarding school who stumbles across some artifacts and gets some supernatural powers. And that's all cool and great and fun. And then she's targeted by a group of fallen angels who need a human sacrifice.
You know, as we discussed when we talked about the new Doctor Who series, some people are just into this British stuff. Doesn't matter how bad it is, if it's supernatural or sci-fi and it comes from England, they'll watch it. So, right. There you go.
The next is Whistler, which premieres on The N, Friday, June 30th. And we have absolutely zero idea if the show is any good at all, but the promos that have been airing on The N are exceptional. It's about an Olympic snowboarder who is found dead on the slopes. His father, brother, and girlfriend investigate and find that their town of Whistler has a lot to hide.
Like it was built on the graves of Everwood.
Perhaps.
Something like that. Next, we have Psych on USA, which premieres Friday, July 7th. It's about a guy in trouble with the police who convinces them that he's psychic, can help them solve crimes, even though he has no actual psychic abilities. He's able to bluff his way thanks to better-than-average powers of observation picked up from his police officer father, who's played by Corbin Burnson, who's just been away from TV for too long. I mean, they haven't done another Mole.
He's been on General Hospital for a while.
Recently?
Yes.
How often do people go back to soaps?
Quite often.
Really?
Yes.
When their careers start to tank?
Well, Finola Hughes has been on General Hospital recently as well.
Really?
Yes.
Aw, she's so cute.
I used to watch General Hospital when I was in junior high, and my mom still watches it because she started watching it in junior high to make sure I wasn't watching trash, and she got totally hooked. And now I just have it on in the office during the day, so that's why I know who's been on General Hospital recently.
Well, someone who has not been on General Hospital, who is also on Psych, is Dulé Hill from The West Wing, who we like quite a bit and are eager to see him in other roles. So okay. Hopefully it'll be good. Also, premiering on Sci-Fi on Tuesday, July 18th, is a show called Eureka. It's about a U.S. Marshal who wrecks his car and finds himself stranded in a town where the government has been relocating the world's geniuses and their families for years, leading to a daily life that veers from wild innovation to total chaos.
So, I think we've seen this show before, but...
We have?
It sounds like...
Government Genius Farm?
Yeah, it always... These, like, weird, remote, odd towns. It doesn't seem...
It's kind of like Green Acres in reverse. Everyone there, instead of being kind of a goofy, dumb hick, is going to be a super genius.
Okay.
And that'll be kind of interesting and fun.
Remember, what was that?
Or maybe like The Prisoner without the giant bubbles.
Remember that show Erie, Indiana? Yeah, there's like, it's various degrees.
Remember that show Twin Peaks, Northern Exposure? All Green Acres knockoffs.
Okay. So let's move on to our news notes.
Why don't we?
All right. Chappelle's show, The Lost Episodes...
have been found.
Yes. They have finally gotten a premiere date. The last few episodes Chappelle taped before walking away from the show and his $50 million contract will air on Comedy Central beginning July 9th, which is a Sunday. Charlie Murphy and Donnell Rawlings will introduce the sketches because Dave Chappelle had not done that part when he left.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, and you know we're going to watch them.
Well, starting the next night.
Yes.
Also, probably equally as groundbreaking and funny as Chappelle's show, Cartoon Network's Adult Swim is going to start airing all 45 episodes in the rarely seen 1988 Christmas special, even though it's out on DVD now, of Pee-wee's Playhouse. I love this show.
I know you do.
And I'm very much looking forward to seeing it back on the air. Because for some reason, there's something special about seeing a show on TV, even though you might have the DVDs someplace. It's like hearing your favorite song come on the radio. It's more special than when you just pull up the DVD and stick it in and listen to it.
Okay. That's why I included that note for you.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that.
See?
See how nice we can be to each other?
Uh-huh.
See how you don't have
see
to play?
See how accommodating I am?
Yeah, exactly. See how you don't have to play the victim all the time? So, for tonight's installment of Must-See TV...
Might-See TV.
Might-See TV. Oops. Don't want to step on any trademarks there.
We owe NBC no money.
Boy, the Peacock is firmly ingrained that in my mind, and I never even watched that stuff. Might-See TV, starting nightly on June 12th, also on Cartoon Network, is probably our favorite, or maybe now second favorite, anime series, Naruto. And for some reason, although this is a show about adolescents going to ninja school and ninja training in some fictitious anime world, Brill somehow really got into this, and I still don't understand why. I mean, for me, it's a natural, but I've seen all, like, 800 episodes of Dragon Ball Z. Okay, there's only...
All right, I actually have a confession to make.
Yes?
You had gone to book club when Naruto originally premiered, and you told me, because they were doing two back-to-back episodes, and you asked me to tape them.
Mm-hmm.
Which you asked me repeatedly to tape them.
Because I wanted to see it.
Which I forgot to do.
Okay.
So, I forgot to do it, and then luckily, in that Comedy Central way, they repeated them immediately after.
That's weird, because this is Cartoon Network we're talking about.
Yeah, yes, it is. So, in that Cartoon Network way, they repeated it immediately afterwards.
Not that Comedy Central doesn't do that, too.
It's a cable thing.
Right.
So, I had to stick in a tape... And then I felt guilty and I had to make sure I got them because I had no plans on watching them.
These were obviously in the days before we got a DVR. Yes. When you still thought that they were useless and evil. Although that our DVR is now your best friend and you call anyway. It by its first name, Muxie.
So because I was so paranoid that I would not get them taped for you, mm-hmm. and I did watch them, that is how I became hooked. And I think the fact that it's about little kids in ninja school is enough to say why it's a great show.
They're not little kids, though. They're adolescents. They have hormones.
So they could be 12.
They're older than that. But whatever.
I don't think they are.
It's funny. It's got action. It's well animated. It's weird.
There you go. There you Believe go. It.
Brill's even got the catchphrase down. Now, we also had a chance to check out the first few DVDs worth of the show Full Metal Alchemist.
And why was that?
Because I punctured a tire in my Vespa and we got stranded at my office and we happened to have the DVDs there.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyway, we managed to catch how many episodes have we watched? 10, 12, whatever.
About 8.
Of the show Full Metal Alchemist, which has been airing on Adult Swim and is still airing on Adult Swim at numerous times at night. They repeat it right after they show it. I have to say, we were both quite taken with this show. Not what I expected at all. It's an action show, but possibly the saddest action show I've ever seen.
It is so sad. And I have been waiting to see it for quite some time because when they first came out on DVD, there were all these rave reviews out there about it. And so I wanted to see it, and you thought I was on smack and that I wouldn't like it. And then we saw it, and it's so, so sad. I do not suggest watching 8 in a row like we did.
Brill was practically in tears. It was
weird.
And I've seen some anime films that were definitely real downers, but never a series that managed to sustain a feeling of sadness as long as this has. In fact, I think I need to go be alone now.
Yeah, we recommend it, so don't don't stay away.
Netflix those DVDs, check it out, and then you can catch up on Adult Swim.
Right.
Speaking of DVDs, what's coming out this week, bro?
Coming out this week, we have the fifth season of Charmed, the second season of Entourage, which is good because the third season's about to begin, so you can catch up, and the complete Air America series starring that Am I Hot or Not judge, Lorenzo Lamas.
Right. And that is somehow connected to the movie, although I didn't see any shared credits, but the premise is basically the same.
I am strongly suspecting this was a syndicated series.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it
was. Okay.
Now, a couple of slightly more interesting releases. First up is the first season of F Troop, which was a 60s sitcom about a U.S. cavalry unit doing business with the local American Indian tribe in the Old West.
Yeah, I'm sure that was politically correct all the time.
F Troop is kind of notable for its ridiculously racist depictions of American Indians, all of whom were played by Caucasians. Yet, it was really funny to me at about age 7 or 8, and not because of that. It stars Larry Storch. It's this whole kind of absurdist TV thing where the American Indians are actually smarter than any of the cavalry guys, but they're subtitled because they don't speak English. And so it's kind of funny if you can get past the blatant and rampant racism.
Okay.
Kind of like those Bugs Bunny cartoons they don't show anymore. Also coming out is Power Rangers Mystic Force, or at least this is disc one of Power Rangers Mystic Force. And I'm not exactly a Rangers connoisseur, but I have seen some episodes of this particular Ranger series and have to say it's really damn weird, even by Rangers standards. And it really creeps you out.
Oh, is this the one with the, like, cat girl and the, like, dog? Well, they've all got
something like that. It's really kind of weird.
Okay. Let's move on to our preview.
Go right ahead.
Deadwood premieres this Sunday, June 11th on HBO, as does Entourage, which we discussed last week. The network announced today that this will be the last full season of the show. But
that being Deadwood, not Entourage.
Yes. But that there will be a pair of two-hour movies which will end the series. We've seen the first two episodes of the new season, and as I found with the previous two seasons, it's really hard for me to get into it because the speech patterns are so different from anything else you hear on TV that I spend the first 20 minutes getting back into them and trying to figure out what they're saying.
Well, even as I was saying to you as we were watching one of the episodes, even being from Texas, I think if I was stuck back there in that land, I would spend all the time wandering around just going, what? What the heck did you just say?
But it's not even real Old West speech other than the swearing.
No, it's Shakespearean. There's,
right. It's very Shakespearean. It's that lyrical
iambic pentameter. You
know, right.
It's not actually.
It's
but,
not. But,
but
yes.
It's the kind of thing where if you were to read it on paper, not dramatized, it would make even less sense.
So I found the first episode very slow. We both fell asleep during parts of it, but that could have just been Saturday afternoons when we always tend to fall asleep on the couch watching TV. But the second season...
Could our lives be any more exciting?
No. But the second episode I thought was much better, much stronger. My big problem with it now is that this season they brought in William Randolph Hearst. And it's kind of...
As played by Major Dad.
As played by Major Dad.
One of the Simon brothers.
And, you know, Dixie Carter's husband. Not Dixie Carter. Delta Burke. One of the designing women.
Not Dixie Carter.
Yes, Delta Burke. Wait. Anyway.
I don't know. It's just not Annie Potts, okay?
Or Jean Smart.
Right.
Okay. So, the second episode is much stronger, but I still, it's how many ruthless men can you have in one show? They seem to be treading the same ground over and over.
Well, last season, there seemed to be way too many subplots and hidden agendas, and the show seemed to lose some of its focus and some of the momentum that it built up over the first season. So the Bullock versus Swearingen conflict seems sidetracked by so much else going on. And this season seems to pick up all those threads where they left off, and there are quite a few of them. So every character has their own little motivation, their own little thing going on. And it's a lot to keep track of on top of getting used to the cadence of the speech and so on. And I have to wonder if some of it is part of they're trying to keep the show in a realistic historical context, because I know that they're trying to portray events as they happened, when they happened in the actual Deadwood, even though many of the characters are fictional and the whole thing's fictionalized.
Right, because they always, David Milch always wanted the series to go for 4 seasons because the Deadwood camp was only around for 4 years till it burned down.
What? So, the camp burns down?
Yes.
Is this like when I told you that King Kong dies at the end of the movie?
Shut up.
Go ahead.
So each season was supposed to represent a year, but now they're only going to have 3 years and then two-hour movies.
But, you know, how many episodes do they do a season?
13? 12 or 13.
So they're able to pack a whole year into 13 episodes.
Right.
And 24 can only pack one day into 24. That's what's wrong with 24.
But what I also think might be part of our problem is we watched the first season on DVD.
I think part of our problem is that we spend our Saturdays falling asleep watching TV.
We watched the first season on DVD, and we watched it all together. So right. I think in the second season, when you have these weeks in between, it's easier to forget what's going on and drop plot lines. Where if you watch it straight through, you get it all at once.
Well, now that they know that this is all coming to a close at the end of this season with the addition of 4 hours worth of TV movies.
But I'm sure this season's already in the can.
The whole thing?
Pretty sure.
So they're going to have to wrap up quite a bit of stuff probably in that 4 hour span from these two TV movies. Well, I'm still going to watch the show because regardless of anything and how hard it is to follow sometimes, and how confusing some of the characters get, it's still one of the best acted and best written shows on TV.
Definitely.
And I think that history will show that it's, you know, better even than it gets recognized for at this point, even though it does get a lot of critical acclaim, because once it goes off the air, everyone's going to watch it on DVD. And I think it's one of those shows that somehow works better that way.
Yes, I agree.
All right. Are you through with Deadwood?
I'm through with Deadwood.
So now we can talk about Windfall.
Okay.
This summer NBC series is about a group of 20 people who win the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise there. It premieres Thursday, June 8th, and we've seen the first 2 episodes in advance. Windfall is a kind of interesting mega ensemble story that delves into how the mostly middle class people, with a couple exceptions, handle becoming instant millionaires. And it's interesting in some ways because almost everyone has thought about what they want to do if they win the lottery.
By everyone, you mean everyone, not everyone in the show.
Everyone, I mean everyone in the world.
Yes.
Has thought about it. Have you thought about it?
I have thought about it.
I've thought about it. And some people I know even have quite extensive plans whether or not they actually bother buying lottery tickets. The series falls a bit short of its potential, though, because I found it pretty predictable and kind of dry in a lot of places. There's one funny storyline that kind of stood out to me about a teenager who marries a Russian mail-order bride, who is a hot one, not like those real Russian mail-order brides, but more like the Nicole Kidman one from that movie.
Uh-huh.
Except Birthday not,
girl?
Except not that hot.
Right.
Anyway. So he marries a Russian mail order bride, which he manages to steal from somebody else.
I think like his uncle yeah.
So he can collect his share despite being a minor and escape his strict parents.
Which was one of the few individual stories I liked. And I think that's the big problem with these kind of rambling ensemble dramas is all the individual stories have to be compelling. And in this case, there was only 2 I was interested in. So there was a lot of downtime where I was kind of like, when are they going to go back to so-and-so? And also, one of the other leads who they spend a lot of time on is Jason Gedrick, whose character is just so unlikable. And it really turned me off.
Kind of boring.
Yes.
I mean,
because I like unlikable characters, but he was just very boring and mundane.
He's your typical TV cad and kind of a player and a bad husband and whatever else.
Right.
who is accused of, after it's announced that he's won the lottery, is accused of having fathered a child by one of his students.
Right, and even though they make it completely clear that he didn't do it, he still ends up taking the child. It's just a mess.
He keeps the kid, which is really weird, possibly, probably illegal.
Yes. And it's going to come back and bite him on the ass.
Yeah, what was he thinking? So anyway, Windfall.
Eh.
Eh.
We won't watch it again. So actually, I would say thumbs down.
I also think this show is sort of a weird comparison with My Name is Earl, which is another show about someone winning the lottery that's totally different and a lot more entertaining to watch.
Yes. It's a much more interesting way of what you would do and what the lottery would compel you to do.
Oh, you know what I get to do now?
What?
60-second soapbox.
All right. Where's that stopwatch? Okay.
Okay, let me first explain this. 60-second soapbox is basically a chance for one of us, tonight it's going to be me, to rant about something that's really bugging us on TV or about the TV business. But to keep us from rambling on incessantly, as we occasionally will do, we're going to limit the length of this to a long commercial, which is 60 seconds. So tonight's topic is montage abuse.
Okay, you have 60 seconds. Go.
The montage started as the basis of film editing, the connection of images to form a sequence. Unfortunately, on modern TV, it amounts to nothing but laziness and a way to waste time. You know what I'm talking about. The characters stop talking, a song, usually by a band that we plugged at the end of the show, starts, and viewers are treated to a series of shots of the characters. The problem is, this is hardly ever moving the story along. Marissa's at the beach, Ryan's sulking, and Seth is in his room looking forlornly at Captain Oates. Someone had time to kill at the end of an episode. When it does move the story along, it does so in a way that should probably be dramatized instead of using the shortcut. The worst abuse is the Somebody Died montage, where we're treated to all the characters' reactions while inevitably listening to Jeff Buckley's rendition of the Leonard Cohen song Hallelujah. We've only seen one montage that we liked in recent memory, and it was in a show premiering next fall that we can't discuss yet. So, directors, editors, writers, and whoever's responsible for this film school student level handiwork, please stop.
57 seconds.
Woo-hoo, that's my rule.
And you dropped a sentence.
Well, I had to. You were waving me to
yes,
to
I
move
was.
Along.
Now, can I have a follow-up question to that soapbox?
Okay.
What about Lost, which ends every episode with a montage?
Which is annoying.
Okay.
It's one of the best shows on TV, and I don't understand why they do it, except for the fact that it's an ensemble show, and sometimes they have to show Saeed off somewhere because we haven't seen him in a few episodes, or Echo building his church, or, you know, they just need to catch up.
Okay.
And it's a lot of those reaction shots, too. I think there's a better way to do it.
What is that better way?
Dramatization.
Okay. That's all for tonight. Next week, we will take a look at some summer reality shows, including the second season of Hell's Kitchen and NBC's new show, Treasure Hunters. Also to come sooner or later this summer, depending on how long Eric can resist talking about them, are our initial impressions on the new fall shows that we've started to watch.
By them, you're talking about Heroes, aren't you?
Yes, I am. There were several NBC shows we're kind of chomping at the bit to talk about.
But you're talking about Heroes when you say which ones I can't wait to talk about.
I am.
Well, we're certainly going to be delving into the new shows when we begin our exhaustive coverage of the Television Critics Association's press tour, which begins in July. Each network is going to be presenting the new shows and their casts to the ruthless TV media such as Brill here. Plus, there are going to be parties stocked with stars. We get to go, or at least Brill does, and sometimes I get to play plus one, and you get to hear us talk about it, and we're looking forward to that.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.